Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 56 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Zachar, the Remembering One, Part 2. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Well, Lord Jesus, we do love you, and we thank you for today. Lord God, we ask and pray that you would show us and teach us and show us your ways of the Spirit. Lord, we know that there's got to be more than now. We know, Lord God, that we have not experienced all that you have for us in this book. And our understanding, oh God, as we've set aside this day to come together to for you to show us and us to help figure it out and on how we can grow in your presence and in your power. And how we can grow unto being who you've created us to be. Lord, we understand that this earth is a place that you've put us in to grow and to mature. You even allow us to do some things right and some things wrong. Evidently, we won't mess up too much down here. But Lord, it appears that we're going to be spending eternity with you. And I pray that this place will conform us to the image of your Son, that we might fulfill your ultimate purpose. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, it's with that in mind that we welcome you here today. And as we watch and we wait and we try to see what God has in store for this church here at New Life, and I will actually be in Florida next week, but Jeff will be here next Sunday morning. Okay. I said I'll be gone. Pastor went good. I received that as a good. but Jeff will be here next Sunday morning. I'll be in Florida installing a preacher down there. I don't know if that's like installing a vacuum cleaner or a washing machine. I don't know. I'm not really sure what it means, but that's what I'm supposed to bring, some sort of message or like that. So if y'all would be in prayer for me. But I'm really thinking that revival is going to spill out in a lot of places. And the ones that the Lord's put on my radar is here, the gathering in Moravian Falls, and the Grace Place, which is with Jeff Rowland and Statesville. And those are just the three that he's put on my radar. But we are consciously trying to work together that this might be spread out and that we're not just inward. We're looking outward. And then the fourth one that was put on my radar then was Park Avenue down in Florida, that church that I'm going to Sunday. They're just right on the verge of popping. And so let's just watch things. Let's see how it goes. I don't want to miss it. And, of course, the truth is I want in on all four of them. You let revival break out, and I hope I can get my farming done. We've been doing this study on the shifting of atmospheres, very serious about understanding this spiritual phenomena of shifting atmospheres and why in the world has God put us here. In my prayer and in my mind, it comes to me that I had a dream. You know, this was years ago, but in the dream I was above the earth. Angel of the Lord was to my right. I looked down at the earth, and it had a fence all the way around the globe, a fence all the way around it. And I looked up at the angel. I said, "Well, what's that fence for?" The angel looked at me. This is what he said in the dream. He said, "God has put man on the earth to learn, grow, and mature, because you can't mess up much there." That's what the angel said to me. So that's what gave me this idea that this earth is a place of growing and maturing. It's hard down here. Has anybody noticed, or is that just me? It's just, I mean, you get one person healed of something and then two more pop up. Is God healing? Yes. But is the need of healing great? My stars. It's just incredible. So I am looking and rejoicing that God has healed and God has saved, God has moved. But the need of his saving and moving and healing, it appears to be so great that God's people don't have a thing in the world to do but get on with it. We've got to get on with this thing of following the Spirit of God. Now, in shifting our atmospheres, here's my thought for today. The enemy is not after your stuff, but after your mind. He's not after your car and your house and your job and all of that. He's after your mind. Because if he got your mind, he's got the rest of it. He's after your mind. Now, keep that in mind as we move forward quickly this morning. Now, we have been mentioning this part about this church, and as believers, we become awakened. And in the process of awakening, the enemy's after the mind of the seed so that it does not replicate itself in like manner. In other words, God has sent Jesus Christ to restore us so that we might reproduce of like kindness. So, the enemy is trying to now mess up our spiritual DNA so that we don't sprout and grow and to mature. Instead, we grow up a weed, something that's not desirable. Says this in the scripture, therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now we have, I mentioned, sir, a few weeks ago that when the seed's in the ground, it can't see any light. All it can feel is heat. And we discussed how right on the other side of the heat is light. We pray, God, remove the heat so I can see your light. God says, I provided the heat for you to push through it and see the light. There is, consider this. If you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, that you can say to this mountain, it be removed. Is the mountain removed or do you walk through it? If you start seeing how that's written in the Greek, the mountain's removed. It's just like, but you just walk through the mountain. And so therefore, how many's had things you've had to walk through? Right? And you got on the other side. Some we've yet to get on the other side. So therefore, the journey through this mountain is though it's removed. Meaning, the weight of the mountain will not crush you. Now, let's move on. That's in Ephesians 5:14. You were created to remember. We went over that. Genesis 1:27 tells us that God created man and woman in his own image. In this passage, the word man is translated from the Hebrew word zakar, which means the remembering one. I'm not going to go into detail. You need to see last week's or listen to it online. But God has created man to be the remembering one. We were created in God's image as man. What does the word man mean, that image? The remembering one. I doubt God has a head, two arms, and two legs. We were created in his image, which was the remembering one. Why do people take drugs and alcohol? What does it do? The remembering one. What happens in crisis and grief? What does it affect? The remembering one. Why does God want us to trust in him? Because you will maintain the remembering one. So evidently, remembering is important. I showed you last week how the power of God was hidden in the remembering. This is to a prophetic people. Now, God remembers. I did that in Genesis 8:1. God remembered Noah. And when God remembered Noah, something happened. In God's remembering, it caused the wind to die down and the waters to subside. Only thing God did was remember. Now, keep that in mind. Genesis 1:9, he said that he remembered his covenant. His remembering caused it. You see, when you're trying to forget something, you're trying to destroy its power, good and bad. That's the reason things that are bad in remembering needs to be taken to the cross so that they might be healed. But everything has to be remembered just the same. I went over this and that strength is activated when we remember. I did that one with Samson. You remember that? Samson cried out, "Oh God, remember me." Now the scriptures are trying to show us something as a prophetic people. Samson said to God, "Remember me." Well, evidently, there's more to remembering than just remembering. Do you think Samson really had to remind God to remember? I don't think God forgot if he's the master of remembering. So Samson said to God to remember. You see, the term here, remembering one, our idea of the remembering one is to recall. Oh, yeah, to recall. Now, just think about this. Remembering in the Spirit is the act. It's the act. It's the act of changing atmosphere. Now, let's move forward. To a Zakar is to use your whole being to engage in whatever action that remembrance requires. See, God's in covenant with Israel. In your remembering is found faith. Something has to start the engine of the Spirit. It is actual spiritual dynamics. Something has to start the engine. So if you're going to pray for the sick, I spoke to you a few weeks ago, how you need to remember what God did. Well, I remember when God so-and-so. I told you, if you've been healed of cancer, somebody comes in and says, "I need to be prayed for cancer." You need to jump up and go pray for them. Why? Because you remember when God touched you. It's in the remembrance. A person who remembers has more anointing than somebody that's doing it just out of the brain, out of rote. Can you hear me? Now, when God remembered Noah, he made a wind to blow over the earth. In the Bible, remembering is not just a recollection of memory, but is a focus upon memory that results in action. It's a focus. It's not a passing thought. God remembered Noah by doing something. Remembrance is the beginning of a divine act, so therefore to forget is to stop a divine action. That's the reason we have, if you've got all of our disorders, our abuses, our addictions, it's all trying to come against the remembering one. That's what's happening. Lest you remember God. Say, "Well, I've got to dull the pain." There's not one place for the pain. That's the cross of Christ. Jesus died for that pain. The only place the memory can be fixed. The memory has to be completed. An unhealed memory never resolves. The only thing you can do is try to forget it. And you can't unless you take drugs or alcohol or something. You got to have something to numb the memory. When God forgets, he doesn't engage in a certain action. When God remembers, he does. When God remembers man, he says this in John. John says that the Word become flesh and dwelt among us. When God remembered the state that we're in, it equaled an action. And that action was Jesus Christ. when God remembers it, is with redemption in mind. How do we know that our remembering is a divine action? It's because it always has redemption in mind. If you gossip about somebody, well, you wouldn't believe what they did. Pastor, you wouldn't believe what Trevor did. You just wouldn't believe what that boy did. All right. In my conversation, that doesn't have redemption in mind. So therefore, if the memory was just benign, it would be fine. But you got to remember, they all have power. The power's hidden in the memory. Power to persuade, power to destroy. For some reason, we've gotten desensitized to the power in memory which produces speech. Why were we created to remember? First, we have something important to remember. Now, listen, go with me here. God has given each one of us a special amount of information to remember that is unique to you. Can you receive that? If he didn't, you wouldn't have needed to been created. Think about it. Each one of us in this room and watching online have been through our own amount of crisis. We've all been through more than we thought we would have. We've all seen more pain than we thought was out there. Everyone in this room, everybody always feels like we're hanging on by a thread. But we have a reason to remember. I want you to move with me here right quickly. Remembering is a repeated theme throughout the Bible. Men are called to remember God by faithfully telling others who He is and what He has done. Now, this is so simplistic, we almost miss it in the church. So simplistic, we almost miss it. We all have something unique. We all can tell others what He's done. Now here's remembering gone bad, self-remembrance. We act in a way that is self-beneficial, right? I don't need to go into that one, do I? I think we've all got that one down pat. To be self-forgetful is an act of love. Now, here's what happens. When I deny my selfishness, it's an act of love for others. Can you see it? Keep all this in mind. We're going to build a house with all these bricks. Keep it in mind. We are remembered by God. We are the objects of His active, saving mercy in Christ. Every moment, every second of your life, God is remembering you. What in the world do you think makes your heart beat? God is remembering us every second. All life comes from God. It's not on automatic. Man can't make it. This, what makes our spirit alive, is God's remembering us all the time with redemption in mind. Somebody say, praise God. He's remembering us all the time with redemption in mind. So you have been created in His image. So God wants us to remember all of us all the time with redemption in mind. That then equals the love of God. That's the love of God. Now, Ephesians says this, "Praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him when?" You see, God's memory of you before the foundations of the earth is what created you now. God's memory of you with redemption in mind is what created you being here now. Where's the power? It's in the remembrance. "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy, blameless in His sight." Keep that in mind. Are you a little confused? Are you with me? We are to remember and tell our children. Now, let's move on here as God did, Deuteronomy. "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely, so that you do not" what? "Forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart. As long as you live, teach them to your children and to their children after them." Here we see something important. Do not forget the things your eyes have seen. Now, you got to catch this. God's not asking you to memorize this Bible. He's not asking you to do that. God is asking you just to remember the things that you've seen Him do. And if you'll remember those things that you've seen Him do, that's where you will walk in the power of the Spirit. Now watch it. Here's a typical Old Testament meeting. Worship, prayer, remembering what God had done. That was it. They worship, they pray. Now they might read it from the Torah. They might read about what God had done. But that was a typical meeting. Worship, prayer, and remembering what God had done. God gave Israel feast to help them remember each year what He had done for them. He gave them feast. These feasts was to help them in their remembrance. Listen, God doesn't need the worship. We need the remembering. Y'all going to be plumb sick of me saying the word remember before this one's over. Now watch it. We reach in the remembering. We reach in the remembering for the power that is needed for the now. You reach into remembering, but you say, "Alan, I've got some bad memories." That's right. Those bad memories need to be taken to the cross. If somebody mistreated you on purpose, you forgive them on purpose. Take it to the cross and get on with life. That memory has been dealt with. When those memories are dealt with, they tend to fade, and your memories will be more on about what God has done for you. Or the memory can be that God healed you of that bad memory. Remember what you know. Now, this is 2 Peter. Now, in 2 Peter, Peter said this, "Therefore, I will always be ready to do what? To remind you." Why did Peter say that? Because Peter knew the power was in the remembrance of these things, even though you already know them. See that? If you come into church, you say, well, after I know that scripture, I already know what they're going to say, and you just turn yourself off, you're not getting it. If you've heard it for the 200th time, it's because you're not remembering it. God has placed you in front of it again to remind you. See, Peter said this. He said, I know you already know it, but I find myself that I got to remind you. Why? Because you'll die. You have no life. To remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth, which is present with you. He said, you've already got the truth. It's in you. You've been established in it. Well, if that's the case, what good's the truth if you have to be reminded of it? I'll tell you what it is. It has to be stirred. Truth of God has power in it. That's the reason He wants us to remember it. Are you? Listen, this thing can sound so simplistic you'll miss it. I remember back when that paper didn't stick on my little cough drops. Now, watch this. They needed to be reminded, even though they already knew the truth. Peter was speaking about. Now, I'm going to shoot up another verse here. Peter said, you need to be reminded of it. He said, I know you already know it. But Peter says, I've got to remind you of it so it becomes active again. You see, just to know the truth without remembering, I'm telling you, the power's in the remembering. He said, the truth's already in you. It's already been established. But he finds himself that he's got to remind you. There's a purpose in the reminding. It wasn't a new truth that Peter was bringing up to them. Here's what he said. This is the previous verse. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by remembering you, by reminding you. So here's what, now see, that's verse 13. The other one was verse 12. So this was his next verse. He said, I got to remind you. And why is he going to remind them? I'm going to remind you so I can stir you up. What that means is it comes back alive again. It's got that spark of eternity again. The truth's in there, but it's got to come alive again. It's got to be baptized again in the truth. The truth's got to be stirred up. So as what you got to learn as a prophetic people, we get hung up on the knowing, thinking that because we know it, it's active. Got her? Truth. Truth is no good until it's stirred or becomes alive. If you pray for the sick and the healing gift is not stirring in you, just sit down. It's not alive. Don't go. I just go through the motions. Don't go through the motions. Don't do it. Wait till it's stirred. Well, I don't know how to stir it. You remember. And you remembering stirs it. And when it's stirred, it comes alive. And let's look out then. Something's going to happen. Too much of our praying's done without the stir. How do you stir? You remember. Why do I remember? Because that's where the power is. I just gave you a prophetic truth of your life. If you can grab it. The reason I know that is I couldn't say it again if I had to. Now watch it. Peter says in this verse that a person may have heard the truth, been established in the truth, but not be stirred by the truth. Preacher gets up to preach here in a little bit. When he's preaching, what happens to Christians? Oh, yeah, I know that verse. Yeah, I know that truth. Well, big deal. You got to say, wow, okay, yeah, I remember this truth. God's wanting to stir that up in me again. He's wanting it to become active again. Might even be somebody here or at work next week I got to pray for or do something. God's speaking to me prophetically. When the Holy Spirit of God stirs a truth in you, it's because He's getting ready to use you in the truth. It's a signal. You've seen it again, don't shut down. Rejoice. Let it stir. The next thing on your horizon is to use that stirred truth, and trust me, it'll be anointed and it'll work. Come on, you got her?
Good.
I'm getting hoarse. Peter wants to remember what? He wants them to remember. Because you got to remember something. Y'all won't stir yet. What you want them to remember? The previous verses before he said he wanted to stir them up so they'd remember, so they could become active again in it, was the divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1, leading up to verse 12 and 13. The divine nature is what he was saying. I want to stir you in this divine nature. Would you not think that the power of God is divine? What kind of nature do you think will exhibit the power of God? It's a divine nature. Says this in 2 Peter. Now here's why he wanted to stir them. Verse 11. Now when I went to school, 11 was before 12 and 13. We just did 12 and 13. 11. He wanted to stir them because, for an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what Peter was saying, I know you're established in the truth. I know you already know it. But it's not actively alive. So he says, I got to remind you of what you already know. And when I remind you of what you already know, then you understand there's an entrance there into the kingdom. And when we walk through this, you see, walking through the entrance of the kingdom happens because you're stirred. It comes alive. We must be in the kingdom before the active kingdom power operates. You can't do miracles on credit. You got to be in the everlasting kingdom in the moment. We are not always in that. We got one foot in heaven and one on the earth. So therefore, the scriptures are teaching us we must become stirred because we're halfway in, halfway out. We got to become stirred. The moment we become stirred, we are then in that kingdom. And when we're in that kingdom, whatever's stirred comes alive. And there lies the power of the kingdom of God. Somebody say glory. And it scares me half to death. But I know it's, half to life. Amen. Now, when we remember what God's done, it equals trusting Him. It says this in Deuteronomy. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on, on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way out in the desert for these 40 years. See that? You live and increase into promise because of the remembering. We're so busy trying to reach out in front of us, not understanding the power for in front of us comes from behind us in what God has done. Moses is saying this, Israel, you have got to remember. Don't forget how God has led you. There's people in here right now, distressed, online, don't know what to do. Moses was saying, remember how God has led you. If He has led you, He will keep on leading you. Do not distress. That's what he's saying. Now, what if I'm not distressed? What if I've remembered good? All that God's done, I've been blessed. I've got money, house paid for, and three cars. I'm doing wonderful. What do I do then? Deuteronomy 8:10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. It's all about remembering. The warning was when you're blessed and you're walking in it, then the danger is forgetting how you got there. Can you see it? My point again is in the remembrance. Why do we forget the Lord? We don't forget the Lord because we have bad memory. And you hear me now. Why do we? It's not that our memory's bad. This is important. We forget the Lord because of a slow spiritual decline of not practicing remembrance. We forget the Lord because of a slow spiritual decline of not remembering. That's the reason God gave Israel the feast. That's the reason they had all those things, was to remember. They would stop the feast. They would stop the remembrance. And they would leave their God. Remembrance of what God has done for you is what sustains you. The further away from it you get without remembering, here's how you know it's happening to you. You almost feel like God did it for another person. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you haven't been remembering for years of what God has done for you in particular areas, then all of a sudden you kind of get a glimpse of it. It almost feels like it was for another person. When I first noticed that, it was when God healed me of cancer. The first 5 years, I remembered it every day. And I went through a season I didn't remember. I just, you know, well, it's past. I remember one day thinking, well, it feels like it happened to another person. I don't even feel like it was me. That's when the Lord started showing me the remembrance. I was failing to remember what God had done for me. Can you believe that? Who in the world do I think I am? Remembering what God has done for us is huge. It's big. Now, remember, the seed awakens when it remembers who it is. Who are you in Christ Jesus? That seed awakens when we remember. When the seed remembers who it is, then it starts sprouting and growing. All forward progress is based on remembering who you are in Christ. God gave Israel all of these feasts. We'll go over a few of these right quickly. Leviticus, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed festivals, the appointed festivals of the Lord, which you are proclaimed as sacred assemblies. There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is Sabbath rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work wherever you live, for it is a Sabbath unto the Lord. That was a day set aside for them to remember. Now, I want you to see this. Everybody in this room and online, Everybody has a story. You ever went up to somebody and said, well, what's your story? Well, what's your story? Everyone has a story. Every story. God's intentions are for you to live happily ever after. God's story in your life is to always have a happy ending. Do not let the dark side write it. At the end of each chapter of your life, be certain that you have taken it to the cross, and that chapter has a happy ending. It's important that one chapter end, that the next might begin. It's important that it ends happily ever after. Ever how you end a previous chapter begins the next chapter in life. Some people are stuck in life because they refuse. You see, the Lord can't let your remembering go into creating new ones until you have taken care of that one. He will refuse to let you progress in life based on a memory that has not come into completion of the cross. Now, just believe in your story. Psalms, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. Your life is a story that's being written. Your life is a story that is being written. Stop wishing that you had someone else's story. Your story is unique unto you. Your revelation is unique to you. Your remembering is unique to you. And your remembering is the place of the power of God to be given to the earth. Now, Luke 8:39. Jesus said this, and I'll see if you remember the story. He told a man this, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Now, there's a verse before this verse. It was important to Jesus that this man remember and go tell than it was for him to stay. That's what I say here. No one loves the presence of the Lord any more than I and than you. We come here on Sunday mornings for corporately to experience the presence of God. This man here that he healed, look at it. Now, the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, that's 38, what did he say? Return home and tell how much God is doing for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus has done for him. I understand. It was more important to Jesus for this man to go tell what he had done for him than it was for him to stay with him. Now, we're worshipers and we like the presence of God. But make no mistake about it. It's more important to go tell. We're going to have eternity to spend at his feet. And I love the presence and we want the presence. We come here for the presence. But consider this thought. More important to Jesus for that man to go tell his story. The man begged Jesus to stay with him and follow him. More important to Jesus that he go tell his story than it was for him to stay with him. My question to you then is, how important is this story? This story is huge. Jesus sent him away in the power of his story. The power of his story. And for him to tell it through his memory, he knew Jesus could be one place on the earth. But as he sent us all out telling our story, then the power of God would be upon that memory. Now, Psalm 71 says this, "My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts. Sovereign Lord, I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generations." You see that? Your mighty acts to all who are to come. The big deal is remembering what God has done. I don't know how else to emphasize that. That's the deal. It's in that remembrance that we have power. Matthew, "So everyone who acknowledged me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven." Psalms, "Come and hear all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame. That which from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we look upon, have touched with all our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it. Proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us, that so you too may have fellowship with us." Now, Titus says this. I want you to see this, and I'm going to end on this one. "For we ourselves were foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice, envy, hatred towards each other. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of works by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by what? The washing of regenerations and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he did what? Poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Can somebody tell me what that closing picture is? It's a screener. He's pouring water in it, right? Word of life, water of life. He's pouring that. Now, how much of the water is going through it? Have you ever felt like this? Have you ever read the Bible? I put so many people told me this. Alan, I read it and read it and read it, and I can't remember a bit of it. Anybody ever done that? I can't remember. I read this and I read that, and it's just like it just goes straight through me. Now, can somebody tell me what happens to that screener as the water goes through it? It's wet. I mean, at the best, it retains a little bit of water. But if you keep pouring water through that thing, can you imagine how clean it gets? That's what the scripture, that's what the washing he's talking about in that other verse. When I saw it, I get it, Lord. You just keep reading the word worship, reading the word worship. You retain and remember what you can. But the point is this. You want to take in a whole lot more than you'll ever remember because it's washing and regenerating you. You let stick what'll stick. You remember what you can remember. Point being, you want to pour in a whole lot more than you can retain. Because it's washing you. It's regenerating you. It's renewing you in the Holy Ghost. Anybody with it? I didn't want to leave you under this condemnation that you couldn't remember. I wanted you to understand that's our life. We pour in the Word. We remember our story. But we're washed through the regeneration of His Word of God, the presence of God, the life of God. Pour all in you can get. And be the cleanest screener you ever seen.